Now, Enda McNulty is with us. You're very welcome, Enda.
So, how you doing?
I'm very good. I should say Managing Director of Motivate Performance Excellence. You can check out the website. And Enda, the reason we wanted to talk to you today, something quite specific, because with the Open Championship coming up quite soon, Porter Carrington was interviewed by the media yesterday, and he's given a pretty honest assessment of why he feels he hasn't been performing well over the last while. Chief among those reasons is because he says he's too intense and he tries too hard on the golf course. Now, when some people hear that, they might think, how is it possible for a professional sports person to try too hard? Trying your hardest is the key to success, but it can be counterproductive, according to Harrington.
Yeah, well, I think all of your listeners, if they really consider this, they can empathize with that challenge. Sometimes when you want something too much, you actually sabotage your performance, because you make yourself mentally tense, which of course impacts you emotionally, and then physically it makes you even, let's say, 2% more tense than you should be as you stand over a putt, let's say, on the 17th green. So I can significantly empathize with this myself, because as a footballer, one of my biggest, let's say, weaknesses was that I did try too much. I was too focused, far too intense, and thus I wasn't relaxed enough, Hugh. Well, to be honest, Hugh, when we discussed this earlier on, I was thinking about a time that I was flying to America about 7 or 8 years ago to meet one of the leading guys in the world in mental toughness training. And I was reading his book as I was traveling. This guy's name is Jim Lear. For your listeners, he's possibly one of the, if not the greatest mental toughness coach in the world. He worked with Andre Agassi, Jim Courier, and a lot of the top, let's say, NFL and NBA players. And the chapter that I was reading, she really startled me as to the significance of it on my career, and it's very relevant to where Harrington is at. And it was about trying softer and how people with a certain personality type and who are driven in a certain way, because they're always striving to improve and always striving to tinker, they can actually get in the way of performing in that unique flow state. So we know that athletes and performers in general, in all performance domains, will excel when they're relaxed, when they're at ease, when they're almost flexible and malleable. It's almost the opposite of what we think about mental toughness. When we think about mental toughness, we think about being rigid, being hard, being really, really thick, tough. But sometimes we need to think about somebody like Tiger Woods. When he was playing his best ever golf, he was relaxed. When Podrick played his best ever golf, he had a smile on his face. He had a spring in his step. He was almost having fun.
Where's the line between performing to the best of your ability and getting the most out of what you know you can do and being relaxed enough to allow that to happen?
Well, that's the point, Hugh. That's exactly the challenge. The challenge is to get in that. You hear everybody in sport talking about the zone. To get into that zone is incredibly difficult. And thus, even the world-leading athletes who you've seen performing, let's say, at the World Cup, even they failed miserably to get into the zone. Like Messi, possibly the greatest soccer player on the planet today, he failed miserably to get into the zone on the biggest day. So it's a very fine line between trying too hard, not trying hard enough, are just being in the right mental and emotional state. So that's exactly one of the biggest challenges in sport.
For yourself and your own experience, and we'll talk about Harrington more in a second, but did it seem completely counterintuitive for you to try and pull back this overriding sense of determination that you had, that was affecting everything and the way you performed yourself? Did you have to just change your personality, or did you have to change your performance personality, if there's a difference?
I'll be honest, Hugh, and say I struggled with it very badly. When I was about 19 years of age, I went to see a sports psychologist. Some of your listeners will be aware of him, called John Kramer. And John told me at 19 years of age, Enda, you're trying too hard, you're too focused, you're trying to do too much on the day before the game and the morning of the game, and in fact, you're trying to do too much in your warm-up. He said, I want you to relax, Enda. I want you to take the 2 days before a game entirely off, go and chill out, go and completely be at ease, and then even before the game, focus in about a maximum of 30 minutes before the game. So we started to coached me to have little rituals that allowed me to be more relaxed, more, let's say, chilled out, and a little bit more at ease in a pressurized environment.
So did you have to fight against... I mean, were there times when you couldn't help but think about the game, where you had to just fight against that and distract yourself?
Again, I would say, not exaggerating, about 50% of my potential in my Gaelic football career was destroyed by trying too hard.
Wow.
And that's not exaggerating. Because I was too focused, I was too diligent, I was too intense on the day of a game. I remember Eamon Coleman, the great Derry coach, said a few years before he died, God rest him, he said to me, Andy, you need to get better at enjoying it. You need to play with a smile on your face. And unfortunately, Hugh, I didn't realise the significance of that until it was too late, until my career was over. For Podrick, and I have spoke to Podrick, I won't go into the detail of the conversation I've had with Podrick. I have huge admiration for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have huge respect for him. I think he almost needs to go back playing like a child plays. Being at ease, not attaching too much importance of the next putt, not attaching too much importance of hitting the next fairway. He almost wants to win and wants to get back where he was too much, and therefore it's almost a paradox. He's almost chasing himself further away from it.
Do you think, having spoken to him, do you think it is possible for Harrington to do that?
I think it's possible. If I didn't think it was possible, Hugh, I wouldn't be in this game for a living. It's absolutely possible. And Podrick knows it's possible. And that's why I suppose he continues to be so positive with the media. I think he's incredibly open with the media.
Mm.
He's incredibly honest with the media. I think that's a major sign of his character. But I'd just like to see him being a wee bit more soft in his approach.
Alan Cawley is with me in studio, and I just want to bring him in if I can. Was this something that you ever found in your career that you were so focused on success? I mean, you're a very laid-back person, right, that I have got to know. but did you ever find yourself so focused on trying to succeed that actually you found yourself, you know, the law of diminishing returns, if you like, that it just had such a negative effect?
No, to be honest with you, Hugh, it never really affected me, I have to say. Now, I was never playing nowhere near the level that Pádraig Harrington is competing at, obviously winning major tournaments and stuff like that. But I always found the more relaxed I was, and I was that kind of character anyway, the better I played. And as Enda was saying there, he finds that when Pádraig has a smile on his face when he's enjoying his game, it's no coincidence that that's when you play your best golf or football or whatever the sport may be. And that was always the case for me. I used to try and enjoy it as much as I can, and almost smiling too much with too much enjoyment. But that was just the way I was on and off the pitch, and I used to carry it on to the pitch. The interesting thing for me listening to Enda is that with Pádraig Harrington, who has achieved so much in the game, like three majors, he's probably one of the greatest sports people ever to come out of Ireland to win three majors, and it's so difficult to win majors in golf. At what point must he realise and say to himself, look, I've won three majors, I've done so well in my career that now it's almost the case where I can enjoy it, that he's past the point of almost being... Now, I know he's a fierce competitor, and that's kind of probably just... That's just ingrained in him, and that's the way he'll always be. But surely at some point, like, he spent the majority of his career being a professional golfer. He's achieved so much. Surely when he realises the comments that he's come out with today or yesterday and said that he's trying too hard, surely he sits back and even says to himself, you know what, I'm just going to try and enjoy it now. And maybe then you'll see the best results.
Is that part of your process with him, Enda, that you're trying to make him realise, you know, how much he's achieved, and that may in turn make him relax a bit more?
I suppose, guys, first of all, I'm not currently working with Pádraig. I have talked to him a few times, but I'm not working with him professionally. What I would say is that it's easier said than done.
Mm.
So talking to somebody about trying softer and being more relaxed and enjoying it and really being engaged in the middle of the now, that sounds easy when you read it in Bob Rotella's textbook. And Pádraig obviously has worked very closely with Dr. Bob Rotella, but doing that under pressure, I know, from my experience in football and from 15 years experience in this game, it's incredibly difficult to do it, especially consistently. You can do it in the first round, but doing it in the second round is, you know, really difficult. Never mind to do it on the back nine of a major competition. So where it's at here with Pádraig is he now has created awareness for himself that he knows he needs to change. That's the first fundamental step. The next thing, of course, will be identifying what is the pathway to take him towards a more relaxed, calm mental and emotional state. He has got the technical game. He's proved that on regular occasion, especially in terms of those majors that he's won. But now what he needs to do is almost to remove that critical left brain thinking from the process and completely trust his technique and to be at one with the movement.
I asked you this when we spoke to you about Luis Suarez in the aftermath of his bout on Chiellini, and I know you're a big fan of holistic therapy, and would you advocate that kind of approach for Harrington as well, to give himself somewhere else to go when these feelings of anxiety about his performance kick in, that he can have somewhere else to go that will relax him?
Hugh, I think in terms of all performance crucibles, we need to have joined up thinking. If you look at the German soccer team, I spoke to their fitness coach over the last few days, they have a very much joined up approach to all performance systems. So whether it's Patrick Harrington or whether it's Bernard Brogan or whether it's someone like Katie Taylor, it must be a holistic or a joined up approach. I think the solution at that level of sport has to be that way orientated.
Yeah, I mean it's very interesting, and I suppose it's hard for me not having competed at that top level sport. I'm just wondering in your own case, Enda, and before we let you go, was it just on match day performances that you found yourself gripped by this, or did it also affect your training?
Well, to be honest, Hugh, I'm laughing because I haven't said this in public before, but the Friday night before the 2003 All-Ireland final versus Tyrone, this is not exaggerating,
Yeah. My
coach Desi Ryan, who I'm still very friendly with, who was our coach at Queen's, he took me onto the pitch at Julianstown, and we'd done an hour and a half one-on-one practice for Peter Canavan. And because we were weary of anybody seeing us, we jogged to the end of the beach, and Desi, even though at that stage he was in his late 60s, he's an incredibly fit man. So we jogged to the edge of the beach, or the end of the beach. It took us about 25 minutes. We'd done an hour of coaching work for Peter Canavan, an hour of what his tendencies was, how he soloed, what was his dummy solo like. We'd done that for an hour, and then we jogged back. I then decided it'd be a good idea to get into the sea to cool down. And when I woke up on the Saturday morning, I had the flu. So that was the biggest game of my life, and that'll give you an indication as to how I was trying too much, completely sabotage my chance of performing well in that final.
Wow, that's incredible.
And that's not exaggerating, that's exactly how it happened. So I've got, as you can hear in my voice, a huge amount of regret that I wasn't a wee bit more, sorry, not much more relaxed than I needed to be. Like one of my friends, the great Alan Kelly, used to say, the physiotherapist from Tala, he used to say to me, Andy, you need to go and have more ice creams and have less, you know, very structured, rigid training routines.
Are you like that in all aspects of your life? Is that something that's in your personality?
Well, I think that's the point, Hugh, and you were asking that earlier on. So different personality types are orientated towards this sort of behaviour much more so. So in general, in my life, in my business now, yes, sometimes I can be far too focused on what we're doing.
Sorry, Enda, do you think you can over-prepare?
I do.
Now, even just listen, did Desi not say to you at any point, don't even think about getting into that sea?
So, Alan, honest to God, Desi, because again, he was like me, his personality's like mine, we were trying to make sure there was no stone unturned using that old phrase. So he was so keen for me, I was so keen that he should have really said to me, and I should have been experienced enough to know, do what the Irish rugby team does 2 or 3 days before a game, go to bed, sleep, rest, recover. So I learned a massive amount from people like Luke Fitzgerald when I met him at 19 years of age, and I asked him what was he doing the day before a game, and he said, I would get up, and then I said, what would you do then? Have breakfast. What would you do then? Go back to bed. You know, so I've learned a massive amount from the professional athletes we work with in the last 10 years. Unfortunately, I never learned that before my career was over.
That's an incredible story, first of all, but also it's a fascinating insight, I suppose, into the problems that go with competing at the top level. And it's a problem, I suppose, that a lot of people maybe don't understand. But look, and we're out of time, unfortunately. We could talk to you another 10, 15 minutes, but we very much appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll get to do it again soon.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Enda McNulty there. Motivate Performance Excellence. Check out the website, motivate.ie. And, it's amazing.
It's really interesting. Yeah, even just on finishing on his last point, Hugh, even when I went to England, I never learned how to be a professional until I actually came back here playing for Shelburne and like being a full time professional here and living with, it was Ollie Call and Dave Rogers at the time and training under Pat Fenlon. So it's so interesting to hear Andy even saying he learned so much, but the problem was it was after his career was gone. Like you're competing for 5, 6, 7 years and you might not even realise that like to be competing at the highest level, what it takes to be a professional. So you could speak to Andy all night about that.
Let's see how Harrington gets on this week at the Open. My thanks to everyone involved in the show tonight. We're back tomorrow night. News and then Louise McSherry.